and our lecture. And I would love to hear from anyone who wants to comment about how their blessings have been going, how life is going, any special requests. So you're on. Remember to press star 6 and then 1. Hi, Gary. Is it Gary? This is what I see on the caller ID.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
This is Debbie.
Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I had a very profound dream. It's very short. Could I just tell you?
Sure.
I had actually fallen asleep on my sofa, and just before waking, I had a dream that Yeshua was standing beside the sofa, and he said to me, "I am the living water." And then I woke up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dream.
It was very, very real.
Oh, that's wonderful, wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah.
On having such a, you know, I want to say to all of us, we have this connection with him. He has never not kept his promise to be with us. But not always do our physical senses or even our dream time images catch that presence and be able to put, translate it into images we can relate to. So something very powerful is happening for you. That obviously his gifts are pouring into you very richly, that you were able to see that.
Oh, thank you.
You're very
welcome. I feel it.
So this is going to be a very potent blessing for you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Star 6 and 1, if you do. And hi, Mary. You're on.
Thank you, Glenda, and thank you for your blessings. I just had a request today.
Sure.
I have a dear friend. Her name is Liz. It's going to be having surgery tomorrow morning, and if we could just hold her in the blessings, I would sure appreciate it.
Liz, okay, we certainly will.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for all your work.
You have it. You certainly do, and I appreciate the acknowledgement. I'm glad that it's helping in your life.
It certainly is.
Great. Is there anyone else who has maybe a particular a blessing event you'd like to share? Something that in particular that's happened or that you need to request? Or now is your time. As always, we have a message, but sometimes if I get started on my message, it goes on so long, I don't have time to take calls from our congregation. Oh, here we have a call from area code 641, and you're on. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm just using my new cell phone, so I'm not sure what's on. Talking about dreams, several months ago, I had a dream about Yeshua. Can I tell you?
Sure.
I was in a large building, and it was a meeting session. And at the end of the meetings, I had to find a ride home. So I went from room to room looking and asking for someone to take me home.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody either was too busy or they said no. Finally, I got to the very back of the building in the room with tables. And a lot of very old men dressed in dark coats and hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, I might as well just ask. So I stood in the doorway and said, "Is anybody here who can take me home?" No response. But from the back of the room, a very, very gorgeous looking man stood up, dressed in a very expensive looking suit with a silk shirt. I'm feeling nervous as I say this. He was gorgeous. I mean, I'm 70 years old, and I have never been young to think about movie stars and think, oh, they're gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
But this is the first thing that came to my mind. God, he's gorgeous. He came up to me very quietly. He said, "Elizabeth, I'm Yeshua. I will take you home.
Oh, wow. You know, I can relate to that. I really can. In the vision, he had, that I painted, he had a beard. And as a professional portraitist, one of the things I always did with my clients is I would ask them for permission to touch the bone structure of their face, because I didn't want to just get a superficial reading of what was there. I wanted to have the whole physical support system that created the look and the character of their face. Well, I was very, very reluctant to reach and touch. It was just, it seemed like whatever sacred energy brought him into my space needed to stay sacred and untouched. But I really lamented that I couldn't see through the beard because it was concealing his jaw. And he just took his beard off for me. And the one thing that startled me when he did is how absolutely gorgeous he was. And I have the same absolute feeling. It's like I have never seen a human male with this, because it was beauty from the inside out.
Yeah.
It wasn't you know, some Hollywood positioning. It was gorgeous, just inside out, body, heart, soul, mind, everything, with gentleness and that quality of gentlemanliness that was there always. So I can totally, totally relate to that. And I'm glad to see he was in a great silk suit. I love that.
In my
sharing, I can really, really relate to that. And we've got a couple more callers on. Let's see. We have Douglas from area code 828, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is David.
David again. Hi, David.
Yes, hi. You know, it might have been a few weeks ago, and you were talking about something. I don't believe I got through, but it had. But what came up for me was deservability and how my own resistance to deservability meant that if I...
Yes?
If I had something... that would make me a target or make me noticed, or, and when I say a target, I mean to criticism. Well, you have something and we don't, and so forth. So I realized that deservability and receiving go together, and these are things that, you know, we can't block them. And that's so that's what came up for me a few weeks ago, and it's still, you know, being processed. But
I'm so glad that you're dealing with that, David, because it is true. There are people who will say, well, why does he have this and I don't? And people have written me through the years and asked me questions like, why do some people receive miracles and others don't? Especially this old guy who's lived his life and my five-year-old child is dying of leukemia. Why? Why does this? There will always be unanswered mysteries. And, you know, David, we just don't have all the answers because we don't have the God's eye view. And we don't understand what pathways other people have chosen and why their life is that way. But we do make a huge mistake of comparing our life to other people. And I think that the best way to cure that out from it happening to you is to cure it out from you comparing your life with others. You know, it works. It's one of those things that works both ways. And I used to run into this when I was I was on the State Arts and Humanities Council one time, decades ago, when I was a professor at the University of Oklahoma, and I donated one day a week to go to different fifth grade elementary schools and offer art instruction or just look at art talent that was in the schools and do little art projects with them. And the biggest thing I noticed is how every kid would compare what he did with what somebody else did. And I noticed that I never got results until I stopped them comparing. I told them not to look at what anybody else was doing, because whatever they did, no matter how good, or even if they didn't like it, it was still their creation, and that made it wonderful and precious. And when I would get them to stop comparing, everything got better. Everybody's work increased by at least 100%. And their understanding of what they were doing increased by 100%. You see, we can't live somebody else's life. And we can't use even the standards. Even though we have common universal laws, such as one size fits all, and certain basic common codes of decency, as in one size fits all, beyond that, it's all unique. It's all unique. We have different purposes. We have different paths to walk. Some people walk paths of challenge. Some people live more pampered lives. We don't know why. We don't know why that was chosen or given. But the fact is, when we look each at our own life, each at what we're doing, for what we're doing, it always becomes better.
Yep, I see that.
So thank you for giving me an opportunity to say that, David. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Tim, I see you're on the line. And you're
hi,
on.
Actually, it's Linda. I'm here.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm a blessing giver, and I just wanted to identify myself as that. But I wanted to tell you about a dream, if I could. It's real quick. It's
okay.
The same. Sort of, I had an experience where I couldn't sleep for a good many weeks, and I just didn't feel right. And my, I have a lady who helps me sometimes energetically, and I called her, and she looked, and she helped me with the sleeping. She said, there's something larger here. So she worked on that for me, and apparently it was, you know, energetically there. Could have resulted in something life-threatening, perhaps, or at least, you know, something challenging to deal with. And anyway, she said, I took care of this for you. And I spent several days after that in gratitude. I just felt so grateful that this had happened to me and that she was able to help me. And about the third day, one morning, I had a dream about Yeshua. I was in this room really high in the clouds, and it was very blue, and the clouds were puffy, and he appeared as a painting on one of the clouds, and I thought how lovely he looked, and it was just, and there was something about his hair, and I said to my friend, all my friends and family were in this house, do you see him? How beautiful, and nobody saw him, and I realized that it was for me. So I walked over to the door that opened bottom and top, and I made sure to lock the bottom so I didn't fall out. And he came out of the clouds and walked over to me and then came into the room, and I said to him, I'm so glad to see you. I was so happy to see him. And the thing that I remarked was that he looked like a regular guy, like he looked like a carpenter. He looked like the man who comes to your house to fix your sink. And I couldn't get over how, you know, and he had like a plain white robe. And anyway, he turned me around to face so that my back was on his chest, and I sort of fell into him, and he put his hand on top of my head, and then I woke up, and I knew that I was healed. It was sort of like I knew whatever that my friend had helped me with, that he was there to tell me that it was okay.
And oh, that's great. That
was
great,
wonderful.
Linda. Thank you for sharing.
Thank
and, you know,
you.
We seem to have a theme right now of people sharing their experiences with Yeshua. So I want to make a recommendation for this time and all future blessings. Those of you who have Christ sent, use it for your blessing. It is the fragrance that appeared every time even when I couldn't see him, if he comes into my room and I need to, I know I need to pay attention to some messages I may be getting, maybe telepathically from him or through my heart, I always smell this fragrance. And the interesting thing about essential oil and the beauty of that fragrance is they touch us in the autonomic nervous system that goes way below our brain. It goes into the, it's recognized by the amygdala, goes into the hypothalamus and the autonomic nervous system, which then triggers our whole body, cellular, DNA, and system and electromagnetic field that the mind really cannot control and actually has no direct access to at all. Our normal cerebral functions are really something we could compare more to a computer and a switchboard and a data accumulation center that integrates and figures out survival problems for us. That's what our normal brain mind does. But the autonomic nervous system is actually a far more brilliant system, and it was your original, even your original brain. It was your original neurocommunication system when you were in utero. And it still has a direct, unfiltered communication system. This is why Christ-Scent is so powerful, and it can trigger his presence subliminally, even if you don't see it with your any of your five major senses. Now, those of you who have seen him in dream time, I want to indicate that images and dream time usually come from languaging at the soul level. The language of the soul is images. And so when you see him in images, that usually means that the presence, the purpose, the language, the message, or whatever is happening at a soul level. When you feel him in your heart, it's usually a very, very emotional, warm feeling that either makes you you happy or maybe tears of joy or just a great inner warmth. And it's interesting that so many people are reporting his influence at a soul level right now. And I think that's extremely important and significant about what's happening in the world. So thanks, Linda, for sharing that. And we have one more caller, which I will take, and then I'll move into my message for the day. I keep getting a window pop-up, so I can't. Okay. We have a wireless caller from area code 336, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi, Glenda.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to say I really appreciate you and all that you allow to happen through you. And you're right about the Christ fan. All I have to do is touch it to my chest, and I just feel the energy explode.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yes,
it is. I just wanted to give you a heartfelt thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you very, very much. Who am I speaking with?
This is Randy.
Hi, Randy. Okay, thanks for speaking up. And,
yes, ma'am.
You know, also, I want to acknowledge your acknowledgement because this is part of the love that I personally offer, and that is the love of acceptance. Whatever needs to happen for each one of you through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, from God, our Creator, anchored in our beautiful Mother Earth, whatever is right and special and unique for each one of you is my pleasure to be here and support and facilitate. I have no attachment to the outcome, and I know from my many, many years of teaching that it will be unique for each one of you, and it should be. Because if it's not unique, it's not real. Each one of you is like a snowflake. You have a unique pattern, not only in the way you live your life, in the history of your life, but even in the way you go about doing life daily, and a pattern even of the way you expect and need for things to happen. And as we've been discussing in our Better Life seminar, and before that our Energy of Life seminar, all of the things in the free Energy of Life field are uniquely patterned distributions of energy, potential, spirit, love, and creation. Only a small configuration of our universe has actually been turned into mechanically predictable distributions of energy and phenomena, where it's all just a very linear cause and effect, where what happened yesterday determines what happens tomorrow, or what we do with how we wire up an electrical outlet determines whether it will accept 220 or 110. There's only a small sector of our universe that has been converted into that predictable, linear, structured form of distributing the creation of life. Most of it, at least 85% of it, is what we can call free-form energy that is open to each one of you to take into the patterns of your life uniquely as you need it to be. Now, for some people, this will be very subtle. For others, it may be startling and profound. And we also communicate differently at different levels of our being. Just as I was mentioning, on the soul level, we often communicate in images. Not always in formulated images, but sometimes just in colors and shapes or waves or things that we see. But it is an imagery type of thing. Sometimes we just see the dark sky. We see the stars in the sky, or we see light, but it's still an imaging type of thing. At the emotional level, we have intuition and feeling, and we have this inner radiance, or perhaps we even feel hurt, or we feel abandonment, or all the issues that can come into our heart. But they're usually of an emotional feeling nature in our heart. And then on our body, we have everything from pleasure to pain. And the ideal situation for a body is actually to be relaxed. That's really the ideal situation. When a body is in pleasure, it's actually in a certain type of accelerated tension. It's just in a pleasurable state. But, for example, before any athlete goes into high competition, usually the one thing they will have is a massage and a rub down, because the ideal condition for a body is to be relaxed. And so we can accomplish this a great deal by taking a few moments in the day just to spend a little bit of time in a relaxed state, and whatever that means to you. For some, it's take a walk. For some, it's sit in an easy chair on the back porch or a hammock or talk with friends. It varies from person to person. But I want you to allow your blessings to be unique. And sometimes we can't even discuss them. I know that sometimes when I start a painting, I don't even show it to my most trusted loved one, my husband, because he'll bring his, even though he'll probably say wonderful things about it, he'll still bring his expectations to it. You see, we all have unique expectations and patterns, and I have to unfold that new painting according to my unique attunement with what that painting can be. And if I lose track of my own patterning, I could lose track of my creative potential. So sometimes we just need to hold our blessings privately to ourselves. And then as they emerge, just as, for example, my paintings begin to emerge, I usually show my sweetie pie, my painting, by the time it's three-quarters of the way finished, because by that time I have established my understanding, my certainty in it. The patterns are clearly there, and it's just a matter of refining the details and confirming the creation and sharpening it. And actually, at that point, his feedback is very valuable because I can take his feedback and see if I'm really accomplishing what I set out to do. You know, a lot of you have had difficulty and challenge in communicating what you read from Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua and the blessings with other people. And what I would like to encourage you to do is just to be simpler in your invitation to people. When I went out in the old days, when I used to have the painting in my possession, I traveled to a different church or public event every Sunday. I went over, I didn't go nationally, but because I had to go within driving range, it was framed, it's 5 feet square. That's huge. And it was too big to ship because the crate, oh my gosh, the crate would have had to be out of inch thick wood, and you can imagine what that would have weighed. So I went primarily over about a 5-state radius somewhere every week, and went to every denomination and non-denominations and even Messianic Jewish synagogues. And I was always really concerned. How am I going to tell my story? Are they going to believe that he actually came to me? Are they going to throw tomatoes in my face? Are they going to laugh at me? What are they going to say? Well, it became very easy after a while because I realized all I needed to do was to put the painting on the easel and have the painting up there before I arrived at the podium. And then it just didn't matter what I said because he was the message. He was the message. And it didn't matter if he appeared to me or didn't appear to me. And people could relate to it because he'd come to them in their dreams. Maybe he hadn't shown up in their studio to paint them, but then they could see, well, of course not. I'm not a painter. Maybe he hadn't shown up in certain other ways, but they didn't need him to. He had shown up in their heart with messages or in their dream time, sometimes in a meditation, and they had felt his presence. And just seeing the painting confirmed that he had been with them always, even though their experiences were unique. So therefore, they didn't feel jealous or threatened or become disbelievers about the fact that he had shown up in my studio. So I would recommend that maybe you just say to people, you know, if you've ever had a love for, and you may want to even use the word Jesus because that's more common in our English-speaking country, or if you're Spanish, Jesus, or what other language you're in. If you've ever loved Jesus, whatever you think about this book or whatever you think about this, you know, I really suggest you read it. It will do something for you. Don't even mention to them that, you know, there was this woman that had this apparition and you make it all about me. Well, they don't know who I am. They don't have a relationship with me. And they don't know if I'm legitimate or fake or crazy or driven by some kind of ego agenda. Don't know me, so don't make it about me. It never was about me, not from the beginning, not now. Even now, I'm just a conduit. I'm your grounding wire. I am your other ordinary human being that's here as your sister, your friend, your companion, who has this connection that allows me to help you realize in a more palpable way the presence he has always had in your life. See, he's always been there. But because we focus upon our five tangible senses, we're not in tune with the basically 123 other senses we have. Really, we have that many other senses that have been measured, not to mention possibly hundreds more senses that have never been measured. And he's there with us. And he doesn't always come through these five tangible, palpable senses. And so you may need a little reinforcement, a little encouragement, kind of like the way a magnet comes near some iron filings, and those iron filings are just laying there on a glass table doing nothing, just laying there like dust, but you bring a magnet toward it, and all of a sudden they start moving into a configuration toward that magnet. Well, see, the certainty of my experience is like that magnet for you. But it's not about my experience. It's about your experience. And your experience will come alive when you gain more certainty. So when you go to tell people about this, make it about him. Don't make it about me. Don't try to tell stories about Glenda Green. Who's Glenda Green? If you love Jesus, here, read this book. You're going to find him in the pages of this book, even if you don't agree with everything in here. This book brought me back more powerfully to him than any book I have read since the Bible. Tell them about the blessing. It's free. Come and try it. He's there. I found him there. Maybe you will too. You see, keep it simple and keep it about him. And I think that I think all of you who made these comments about him, including my sweetie pie, who I should have listened to 10 minutes before I fell into my meditation, reminded me that he was going to put on some Christ-Ent. Yes, of course, it's a very powerful thing to do because it activates not just the five senses, but many of the other senses that we don't even have names for. And it may be through some of those other senses that you have had your most palpable connection with him. Okay, now that I have conveyed my compliment to what you've said, we're at a time where we need to move into our blessing for today. So I'm going to take us all off the queue. And mute so that we can have a silent background and move into our blessing, because we call forth the presence of Yeshua, who is with us always in ways that are unique for each one of us, sometimes profound, sometimes subtle, and always, always enduring in ways that build and build in layers of certainty as we come to realize the richness and the power and the sweetness of his gift. So take your shoes and socks off, unless you're in very, very cold country, and then please try to have or be prepared in the future to have at least natural fibers on your feet, such as cotton, silk, or wool socks. Because we want to be conducting energy from the earth. The energy from the earth is part of the magnet that draws this powerful energy from the heavens and from the cosmos, and it helps to anchor and pull through you the energetic presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua will join you in your heart, and through your prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, the Creator, will move from the cosmos to the earth through you, magnifying your prayers and bringing you into a more full and complete realization of all the things you need and desire for your life. So be seated. Allow your spine to be comfortably erect. You can be leaning back, your feet on the ground, and begin your prayer now. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and simply pray in a way that's comfortable for you, in words that are comfortable for you. I will invoke the presence of Yeshua, and then I and whatever other blessing givers choose to join me, we will conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being with us all, each in our own unique capacity for receiving and knowing your presence, knowing that you are universal and yet particular in each way for each one of us as we need to know you. That in that way you can represent the universal truths of God and yet the particularities of each of our beliefs. We respect them all in that you are there, for it is your presence that we love. And thank you for being present with us today to bring and activate the Holy Spirit and magnify our prayers as they reach into the heart of God. Amen. The energetic conveyance is complete. Now go rest and assimilate this energy into every part of your body, heart, and being. Don't think about it. And actually, if you've been praying in verbal prayers, do not continue those verbal prayers. I want you to be in complete silence, where the silence of your own being meets the silence of God. Be filled with God. Be blessed by God. Have a blessed week, and I hope to see you all again next week. Love from me.